Anyways, we're talking to a gentleman tonight who, well, he had an amazing encounter here in Kecksburg. He was a witness to this crash of the object that sat, I guess, and I guess that was in a ravine there, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And that would have been December 9th, 1965 in Pennsylvania, Kecksburg.
Uh-huh.
Okay, sir. Could you give us pretty much, I guess, your lowdown, what sort of, you know, what kind of a day it ended up being, and, you know, what led you out to the area, and, you know, basically what was going on? I know we can just sort of figure out from there and go from there.
Okay. It was a particularly warm night for December.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was, by those local standards, would have been considered quite balmy.
Okay.
And we decided, my brother and a friend of his, to go coon hunting.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the dogs. We had three dogs, and we drove up to the site, which is now Media Road.
Okay.
Area. And beyond that, actually, we drove up to a place called Freeman Falls.
All right.
And we split up, and we decided that my brother's friend would decide to park a truck on the other side to the road to our destination, and then bring ourselves back with our dogs to the beginning point, and we would hunt towards the truck.
Okay.
The other truck.
Mm-hmm.
So we split up, and I would say we had about a half mile distance between the three of us, and we were moving abreast through the woods above Media Road, mm-hmm. Above the Culp Farm, and I was lowest, referring to closest to the site to where the Media works, where Media Road. To where the crash site was.
Okay, gotcha, okay.
And I kind of looked back towards Kecksburg because this bright light caught my eye.
Okay.
And I thought, that must be a plane.
Mm-hmm.
With this landing gear down, that's the landing gear light I can see. And I thought, no, that's way too light.
And about the color of that, sir?
It was orange.
Okay.
And I thought, my God, that's a plane. It's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching it, and all of a sudden, it changed course 90 degrees very abruptly. And now, it's headed directly towards me.
Okay.
And then it made another course change,
mm-hmm.
kind of away from me, then back towards me.
Okay.
And it seemed like it was maintaining a certain altitude, but then all of a sudden made a sharp dip down.
Okay, was that be one after one, I'd say, one of the turns it made then?
Yeah. I'd say it had gone from, you know, it'd be hard for me to tell the elevation, from 500 to 600 feet down to probably 300 feet.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah, fast.
Yeah, dip that's down. A big drop. Yeah, you bet. Because you get anyways, you usually get, you know, even if you get, like, people in fireballs and stuff like this, I mean, stuff, you know, they're going to come down at an angle usually up pretty high. Even if they're low, they're still going to stick on a protection area there,
yeah.
At an angle. They can come in even at an arc. But
a projected angle.
Right, and they're not going to just do this abruptness, eh?
Yeah. And what happened was I saw it coming, and I assumed that my brother and his friend had also seen it, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They were some distance above me.
Okay.
So I saw it come again, and I saw it come down.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran over to that site. I had one of the dogs with me, and ran to the site, went down into the ravine, and a small brush fire had started.
Okay.
Right. When it hit the ground.
Right.
So I went down thinking maybe I could help someone.
Right.
Went down into the ravine and I noticed this is not an airplane.
Right. Well, yeah, you're going to discover that real quick.
Yeah.
Right from the shape. And then,
right.
Okay, and just keep going on here.
I noticed that the thing had partially dug itself into the ravine.
Right.
And maybe 2 to 3 feet of its length was dug in.
Okay.
The back of it was flat, probably 5 foot in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
And the sides were, I don't know what you would call it, kind of a terraced kind of, I don't know what that description is, but anyway, it was textured.
Okay, yeah, okay, I got you. You're right, yep.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, rippled.
Okay.
And I had a 6-volt dry cell light that we used for coon hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Shined it on it, and it was steaming because it was so hot.
Yeah.
And plus there was smoke from the fire.
Right.
It was a big fire, but it's burning some brush. and I shined the light on it to see if there was any type of opening or anything, or any type of identifier mark, and there was a band.
Okay.
Maybe a 1 foot up from the base, there was a band, a metal band. It looked like it had some type of drawings on it, or some type of lettering.
Okay, okay.
And the band was maybe 2 inches wide.
Okay. Now, just for curiosity, just so I got clear, now, was that the end what was sticking up? Say,
yeah.
I was paid to put it out of the ground.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so now you had this band running around. And the color of this whole thing?
Well, it was kind of a bronze color.
It was a bronze, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good enough.
And I looked at some of the lettering some of the figures on this band, and it didn't make any sense. It didn't look like any language. It was a series of dots. Swirls, tight swirls, like, and kind of triangle shapes, and some were almost crosses with two lateral lines across.
Right.
And just strange markers that I had never seen or never seen in a book, anything like that.
Gotcha,
I was only 15 at the time, so I wasn't really a world traveler. But
nonetheless,
I had never seen anything like that. So my first instinct was I was about 15 feet away from it, as close as I got.
Okay.
And
you're there by yourself, basically,
yes,
at that point, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my first instinct was to go back and get my brother and to get help.
Right.
Or to make a phone call to get help.
Right, understandable.
So I came up out of the ravine. I couldn't find my dog, so finally did whistle and got the dog back and started running back up the hill yelling for my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I met them coming towards me.
Okay.
And my brother said, "My God, what was it?" And we went back down and looked, and I showed him from the road. It was sticking into the hillside. I said, "I don't know what it is." So at that time, we heard the fire engines coming from Kettysburg.
Okay.
So my brother says, "Well, I don't know there's much we can do here, but," he says, "maybe we can talk to the fire department or something like that." And we agreed that there wasn't much we could do.
Right.
So we left, and we took the dogs home. One thing I thought was strange is about we walked back down to the site with my brother. We had all three dogs with us,
mm-hmm.
and the dogs had their hackles raised on their back.
So they were upset, or
they were upset.
They
were sniffing the air, and they were upset.
Right.
I don't know what.
Agitated, anyways, about something.
Yeah, they were very agitated.
Right.
And they were antsy. They kept wrapping their leashes behind us.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, they built behind us, and we pull them out. They were very disturbed by whatever it was. So we left, took the dogs home, and told my parents about it. And, of course, it's got my dad's curiosity fueled. So at that time, a lot of people started driving over there to see what it was.
Well, I bet. You got the fire department. The fire department had to know, and I'm sure, a lot of people saw the thing coming across.
Yeah, the Mount Pleasant Fire Department came out, and they thought it was an airplane crash.
Right, right.
So we tried to get back up that road, and the Westmoreland County Sheriff's Department, I guess it was, had put a barrier across.
Right, okay.
Couldn't get back up.
Okay, and that was probably, now just for curiosity too, you know, you might not know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But do you believe at that point they put up, say, a blockade barrier just to keep the looky-loos sort of thing out of this situation, because it wasn't an emergency, that's a possible plane crash.
Yeah.
So at that point there was really nothing kind of suspicious about it.
No.
Well, it was, I guess, when you look back at it, say, what was the thing? But, I mean, for everything that was happening that time.
Yeah, they...
Right.
The fire department went in, and I guess the sheriff's department, I know there was a sheriff's department car pulled crossways in the road, and they were in the process of putting up barrier tapes, in fact.
Okay, gotcha.
And so we asked the sheriff's department, you know, what was it? And he says, "I don't have any information on it." He says, "The fire department is, you know, attempting to rescue or something." He didn't say rescue, but they're at the site.
Right, exactly.
They're taking care of the site.
Yep, makes sense.
So that was about the end of it for the evening, and we watched the news that night. I didn't hear much on the news that night about it, but the next day was a school day, so I went back to school, and the teachers in school, I was 15 years old, and the teachers were telling us, "Don't talk about it."
Okay.
they said a meteorite came down, and don't say anything about it.
Huh.
And I thought, that's strange. Why wouldn't you be allowed to talk about a meteorite?
Right.
And I knew it wasn't a meteorite. And I told my friends, I said, my brother and his friend were up there, we were cool hunting, and I actually did see it. And there were a number of other kids that lived in that area that went up there, but they were late getting up. The fire department was already there, so they couldn't get to the site.
Right, okay, gotcha.
So they said, well, we know something hit the ground because all those people were there, and
right.
we could smell smoke.
Yep.
So we know something came down. So they were, of course, very curious about what I saw, and I told them what I saw. And my family, we knew most of the people in the volunteer fire department.
Mm-hmm.
My sister dated Bob Bully Bush, and I knew Bill Weaver, that family very well.
Right.
Bill Bittner, I went to school with his son, Bob. Bob Bittner. Bob and Bob Sr. Bob Sr. Bob Jr. And Bob Bittner was, at the time, he was the assistant fire chief. And Ed Myers was actually the Kecksburg fire chief.
Okay, yeah.
And what happened was, Ed Myers worked swing shift. He worked evening shift at a plant, I believe, in Greensburg, maybe 15 miles away, somewhere like that.
Right.
So he was not there.
Okay.
Bob Bittner was the guy that was there. He was the fill-in fire chief at the time.
Okay.
But gotcha. He worked day shift and was off the evenings. So he responded.
Right.
And the thing that people were very miffed about was, after this happened, Ed Myers came out and said, oh, nothing came down. There was nothing ever hit the ground. The people in Kecksburg are just country bumpkins looking to get notoriety. And it really made people upset.
Well, the thing was seen all the way from Canada right down to your area before it hit the ground.
That's right.
I mean, goodness sakes.
Right. Yeah. That's right. So it gets better.
I bet.
It really drew a line between people in Kecksburg.
Yes.
And that's basically why I'm telling the story, is to try to mend things and to let people know that there absolutely was something hit the ground. It absolutely was not a meteorite.
Right.
I'm not saying it was a UFO. It was a little
yes,
man,
that's fair enough. That really is fair enough. That's fair enough statement.
My assumption was that it was a Russian space capsule.
Right.
Because to me, I've seen the shape of American space capsules, and it was kind of shaped like that.
Yeah, so in other words, you almost had, I think I've seen or heard descriptions from this Acorn, or Acorn, rather.
Yeah, Acorn.
Acorn,
yeah,
I don't know what I was talking about. I'm probably thinking of some of the point on its head.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, this Acorn to something more cylindrical, too, you know, so.
Right.
But you're talking that this more looked like something similar, let's say similar, or, you know, close to, say, one of our capsules, or the more American
capsule. One of our capsules, but the outside was kind of rippled.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was kind of rippled effect. In fact, the reproduction that they put on top of the Kecksburg Fire Department is very similar to what it was.
Okay,
and the guys that saw it, Bill Weaver and all of them, they made that.
Well,
and they put it up there. So that's what it looked like.
Holy smokes, eh?
But I think it was a little taller than that, but I wouldn't swear to it.
Right.
Might be the exact scale.
Holy smokes, eh?
So what happened after that, it kind of all blew over. In 1968, I enlisted in the Air Force.
Okay.
And I got stationed here in the Bay Area at Hamilton Air Force Base in Marin County.
Mm-hmm.
I was an aircraft fighter mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a fighter interceptor squadron. So I was in the barracks one night,
mm-hmm.
and the alert siren went off, and our F-106's interceptors went out and intercepted something out over the Pacific.
Right, okay.
And that was very common. The Russian bear bombers would play cat and mouse. They would come in and see and our interceptors would go out and turn them back.
That's right, gotcha.
So the mechanics, myself, and the pilots were very close. We had very close camaraderie.
Right.
And one of our pilots at the time was a very seasoned pilot. He was did two tours in Vietnam. His name was Tex.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all on pretty much first name basis.
Okay.
So the next day I saw him, I knew that he was on alert duty that night, and I said, "You guys had a scramble last night, huh?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Was Russians playing games again?" And his exact words were, "I don't know what the hell it was."
Is that right, eh?
Yeah. So got to talking to him, and I related this story to him. I said, when I was a boy in Pennsylvania,
right,
about, you know, this people think it was a UFO, or, and his jaw dropped about 10 feet.
Really?
He looked at me, and he said, "You actually saw it." And I said, "Yeah." I assume I was the first one there.
Really? Well, by the sounds of it, I mean, gosh, I guess anybody who showed up, anybody that, say, the actual eyewitnesses, there was a few of them,
yeah,
were supposedly shooed out by whoever, some kind of authority figure anyway.
They were, yeah.
Pardon me. And then, and of course, well, the fire department there, everybody else was there. So, I mean, you probably, by the sounds of it, were the very first ones to see it.
I believe I was.
It makes sense.
I felt the impact. And I actually did see it come down in that ravine.
Yeah, just for curiosity too, if you don't mind me asking here, when this, as this thing, as you watch it sort of come across, you know, as it just burned and whatnot, did it have a big sort of a contrail behind it, or any sort like
it
that?
It was sparking.
It was, eh?
Yeah, it was sparking. It looks like things were like, it was strange. Like, it was almost like it was molten metal was flying off of it.
Right, gotcha. So it really heated up, eh?
Yes, some type of heat shield was burning off.
Yes, gotcha.
I don't know. It was weird. And, yeah, there was kind of a contrail behind it.
Okay. So I just wanted to know, because I know I did remember seeing or reading about that, eh?
Yeah.
That some people have it. I mean, you know, you get variations, eh, from different people, because people, it's not they all seen the same things, but sometimes, you know, they'll say, "Well, jeepers, it wasn't that big." And, you know, it was really huge. You know, I mean, it's just variations, because that person, let's put it this way, people get excited when they see things.
Oh, yeah.
I know I do, you know?
Yeah.
And then sometimes they, you know, maybe the story will get embellished a bit. Sometimes it isn't. It's very accurate, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm trying to just try to, you know, see what your thoughts on it, you know?
Uh-huh. And, it was spark.
Great.
It was like something coming off, and as it was coming down, it was making a loud whooshing sound.
And it was, okay. I'm going to ask. Okay.
But getting back to this major.
Yes.
He related the story to me that he had a friend that he served with was in the Air National Guard in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
In 1965, that actually intercepted this thing.
Okay.
On that night.
Now, this is interesting, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And he intercepted it with I don't know how many other interceptors. And
so in other words, they were tracking this thing as it was coming in, and then scrambled aircraft
to
pretty small greeted, you might say. Yeah.
And I assumed that there were interceptors following it all the way in, although I didn't hear any jets or anything.
Right.
And he was told, this friend of his, the pilot, was told afterwards that they identified the object and landed in western Pennsylvania, and it was a meteorite. End of story.
This is the end of story.
Yeah.
No, that's what he was told.
That's what he was told.
Right. Well, when did it, at least from what you heard, you know, around the town, and so far from friends and neighbors and gossip, I guess, too, when did the military show up, say, after the fire department, sheriff blocked the highway off, the fire department was there, so forth?
Yeah. I would say after the crash, within an hour, the military was there.
Okay. How far is the military, a base away from?
Pittsburgh Air National Guard. But I believe some of the Mount Pleasant, which is about 5 miles away, I believe the Mount Pleasant National Guard was there.
So they were pretty close then.
They were close.
That's what I was getting at. You know, what I was seeing is because the thing was, if they had these jets that, say, scrambled, followed this thing or whatever, intercepted of some sort to make some kind of determination of what it was, and, you know, were relaying the information back, I was wondering how far the actual bases were away, because if they're aware of it, then they were already on their way,
they
possibly.
They were on their way. I'm sure they were on their way.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure they were tracking it. Another thing that I should tell you is that that night when we went home, took the dogs back, and came up with my dad, at that point the fire department and the sheriff's department were there. And then the next day, we went back to the site, and the military was everywhere. They were everywhere. They were through Kecksburg. They were walking around another little hamlet called Mammoth. And there was a barrier set up, and there were signs on the barrier that said, deadly force authorized beyond this point, no admittance. And they had M14s, right?
Okay.
And they were pointing them at people.
Jeez,
they were literally pointing them at people.
Well, incredible, incredible. Yeah. That really is incredible. Hey, this is your home land here, eh?
Oh yeah.
Not like they're going to war against each other, right?
Jeez. You know, and they told everyone in the community that it was a meteorite. So why would you be pointing loaded weapons at people if it was a meteorite?
You wouldn't.
Yeah. Why would
you? You wouldn't. Unless, exactly. Unless it was something that's far out there and we can stretch our imagination as much as we want.
Yeah.
It was something that Russians had came back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's a lot of questions, but we're not get the answers. But that's pretty bizarre to have, you know, armed, I mean, not that they're not armed, but to sit there and put up blockades, tell about a meteor sighting and a meteor hitting the ground and having people pointing guns at somebody else. Incredible.
And then when the military really lost credibility was when they said nothing landed. You know, they came back, and Ed Myers also said nothing ever landed.
Yeah, they got to get their story, their act together here.
they really lost credibility. Yeah.
Well, I think so. You know what? I think they get to this point where they have something, and of course, you know, I can only guess of what it was, and you know, you don't want to get too wild, or at least I don't for sure. But but the thing is, you know, I wonder if they have, when they do have something like this, they have absolutely no idea what to do with it.
Yeah.
And then they start putting out things, and they say, well, people are not going to buy this. We'll put out something else.
That doesn't make any sense. That's right. And before long, it just becomes a joke. It's like, you know,
well, yeah.
It's so ridiculous that, you know, anybody could tell that, you know, that couldn't be, or, you know, they're making lies to cover lies.
Well, and that's a good example of what they were doing. I mean, you said, like, you started to heal the community, because you do have a split in the community.
Yes.
You know?
There is to this day.
There is, yes, I know.
And, well, what happened was, this on the second day, I believe it was the night of the second day, the day after, they took it out.
Okay.
It came out through Kecksburg, and from what I heard, they said like 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
on a flatbed truck.
Oh, it's early morning, eh?
Yeah. They took it out on a flatbed truck. It was covered with a tarp.
Yeah.
And rumors said that it went to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they took it to.
Right. That's right.
And people that lived right there at that junction of Media Road saw the military coming in with this truck. And they saw a number of trucks coming in, and one of the trucks was kind of a mobile command post, I guess, that's pulling a trailer.
Okay. Yeah.
And so there was a perimeter set up around this crash site.
Mm-hmm.
People thought that it was just the road had been blocked, but this is very interesting too. About a year or two after the crash, we still hunted in that area,
mm-hmm.
and my brother was coming across the top of the hill on with Culp's farm,
mm-hmm.
and walking through a hayfield and hit a hay ration can.
Okay.
Military hay ration can.
Yep.
And kicked around his feet, and there were a couple more buried, maybe 6 to 8 inches under the ground, and looked around and kind of made like a circle, and we walked around and didn't find any more. But we thought, you know, it'd be interesting if somebody came up here with a metal
detector
to see if you could find more of these. But we never did. But I believe there were soldiers positioned in a circle or some type of configuration around the crash, out from the crash site.
Yeah, so no one to keep everybody out,
mm-hmm.
which would make sense.
Right.
Yeah, but why would they do that if it was only a meteor?
That's right.
I'm making a joke here. Totally ridiculous, isn't it?
That's what drives everybody crazy.
Exactly.
It's a meteorite.
Well, I don't know of any. I honestly don't know of any branch of the military in this country that has ever run out or probably in your country, you might even know, run out over a meteor.
No, they don't.
They usually have scientists from one of the universities some branch of some place. They'll just run out and see if they can scout around and hunt it up and look for some fragments.
Absolutely.
That's it. Yeah. Far as I know.
Absolutely. And as I said, the military, I know for a fact, from what this major told me, they were tracking it all the way down over Canada.
See, that's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a really good piece of this puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting.
And it changed courses a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
And but I said from what I heard of this pilot's friend, that it was changing course when they intercepted it. It was making a long sweeping course change.
Okay.
Wide sweeping course change.
I got you. Okay.
And when I saw it, I had never seen anything move like that in my life. It was flying. It was making 90-degree turns. Zigzags.
Right. And the thing, it was moving pretty quick?
Quick. Very quick.
Okay.
Just, it was here, then there.
Okay. Now, here's something I'm interested in. Now, okay, due to the speed, which is quick, you know, we can't put an estimation on how fast it's traveled, but it was quick.
Yes.
Now, when you saw it in the in this ravine,
uh-huh.
Now, did it have a long, where it sort of dug itself in, you know, or was it just sort of just punched, like somebody dropped in a big stone and left it there? Was there any kind of a impact area, slide area behind it?
It came in at a fairly sharp angle. I would say a 60-degree angle.
Okay. So what I was, Steve, see, what I was wondering is, just from, I mean, we don't know, because this is going to be a guess, but you might, you know, might be able to sort of have a feel for it. Do you feel this thing may have slowed down, or would it impact it as hard as it is and knocked in that much ground?
You know, I had a really spooky feeling after this thing came down, because, you know, these 6-volt dry cell battery lights,
yes.
pretty bright.
Right. Yeah.
And for, you know, being a kid and not thinking, I was shining it like out towards this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost wondered if, did it pick up on this light?
Oh.
Well, I can't swear to that.
Right. I got
but it
see.
Made this sharp dip down over Kecksburg and came in, you know, like I said, right towards me. So I don't know. Did it see this light?
It's a possibility. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It really is a possibility.
Yeah, I wasn't waving it around. I was just holding it on it.
That's right.
I was on a hill holding it on it, and it came in right towards me.
Well, I'll be holy smokes! This is really incredible story.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that until the next day when my brother and I were talking, and he said, "Well, where were you and all this?" And I said,
right.
"Well, I had the light and I was like shining it out there." He said, "Well, why were you shining a light towards it?" I said, "I don't know. Like when you see something, you just want to, put a light on it."
That's right. Hey, kids are kids. Yeah. I still do it anyway. You see something, put a light on it.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't matter. For human beings, we're curious.
Some type of automatic response.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it had dipped down, and then as it came in towards me, it made a real abrupt landing. It came down like 60 degrees. Pow.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like, it didn't come in like a sled. It didn't slide in.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then about a 60-degree dip, pow. Right into the ravine.
Jeez. Now into this ravine, because this thing is still traveling pretty quick. I don't know if you can see much of the underside of it, because maybe it was pushed in, into the ground at all, so it sort of dug itself in, so it may not have. But I'm just wondering, was there any kind of debris off the object?
Scattered around,
or anything?
I didn't see
smashed
anything
or anything on the object?
There was nothing.
See, that's interesting as well, because you've got something coming in at a darn good speed, eh?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
And I thought, well, yeah, all this debris was flying off of it.
Right.
Off of it, and why wouldn't there be some of that debris on the ground?
Right, exactly.
But there was nothing there.
And did you happen to hear if there was any stories like circling around the towns or whatnot about as the path this object traveled, like if people would have said, wow, here it goes over top of us or just off of this side or right side west or east or whatever. And did anybody ever hear if the military happened to go out and was scouring the woods or the area for anything that might have dropped off?
Yes, they did.
They did.
They did.
Okay.
There's a number of little hamlets in that area, and one area in particular that they were looking at was behind the, there's a soft drink factory in Kecksburg.
Right.
And there's a wooded area behind the soft drink factory. And the next day, the military was all over that area.
Well, I'll be to me it doesn't even make sense for anybody to say a meteor.
No.
Not with that kind of presence and
money
you couldn't put into it.
There were people. God. The military was everywhere.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. My goodness, that's incredible. And there was, did you ever, of course, you never came forward, did you, too much?
I didn't.
Like maybe it was a good thing.
Everybody, my dad told me, my mother said, I told kids in school, and my dad said, don't tell anybody else.
Right.
Because, the military is trying to keep this thing quiet.
Oh, they are, but they sure do.
Yeah, and...
Well, look what happened to the other people, too.
That's right.
You know,
we saw this almost physical altercation.
Right. I've heard the stories. I definitely have. But they've actually been visiting some of the farms out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, been told to keep quiet.
So I never said much about it. I had people years after talk to me about it, people from the volunteer fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to know what I had seen and all this, and I told them. And my story pretty much matched their description of the object.
Right, gotcha.
When they got to the scene, so.
Yeah, and everybody, pretty much now, it's great you came forward with the story, because, it just verifies that there's something else took place, whatever it may have been, and it wasn't definitely a meter, and I can understand you coming out with this, because it would be nice if the community did heal, because there still is that rift in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real big rift.
Well, what really prompted me to tell the story was a few weeks ago, it was aired on TV again.
Okay.
And Ed Myers was talking about, that nothing ever happened, nothing ever came down, and it just really, really got to.
Okay.
Somebody needs to come forward, tell the story as it was, and I can tell you 100% truth. I would tell people on my deathbed the same story. But what I'm telling you is absolutely true.
Okay. Okay. So is there anything else you want to add?
No, I guess that's about it.
Go.
I can't think of anything.
Okay. Just hold on for me, but thank you very much. But just hold on for a second.
Yeah. Well.